Girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. I'm your host, Samaria. This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood. Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a five-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two. So obviously my other half, Miosha, is not here today, but she'll definitely be back for next week's episode. So she won't be gone for long, y'all. But while she's away, we actually have a guest on the podcast with us today who's going to help us delve into today's topic. And I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself, Raven.
Hi, my name is Raven Mahim. I'm actually a school counselor and I'm going on 7 years.
Nice. Okay. Got you. Wow. That's a long time. 7 years. Have you been doing that since you graduated college?
Well, you go to college and then you get your master's. And so since I graduated with master's, and yes.
Nice. Okay. Perfect. Well, yeah. I'm really looking forward to the conversation today. But before we get into the conversation, we're going to start with our first segment, which is Girlfriend Check-In. And today we chose a question from the We're Not Really Strangers game, and we're just going to ask it and share our answers. So the question for today is, describe the feeling of being in love in one word. Raven, what is your word?
One word, exciting. Now for me personally, at the time I thought I was in love, but looking back now, of course, you know, I've gotten older, I've matured, wiser, you know, I definitely wasn't in love. It definitely was not love. It just was not a good relationship at all. but yeah, I would say exciting.
Nice. That's a good girl. That's how it is. Like, you look back years later and you're like, what was I on? Yeah, but it's good though, because you know better now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I ran into a lady once who was maybe like 20 years older than me at the time, and she was describing the relationship she was in, and I was just like, that is no way to live. So so you talking about, okay, I know better now, I think is a good thing, because there are people who years and years and years.
Yeah. It's so sad.
It really is. And I just wanted better for her, but she was just so content with it. I was like,
okay. Yeah. You know, that's the thing though. Sometimes you can want better for someone, but they don't want better for themselves.
Yes. And it's so hard to like detach yourself. Like, okay, if you like it, I love it.
Yeah. I made that mistake in undergrad with a friend. I was like so involved in the relationship. I was like, girl, you need to leave him. I just trying to get an extra supportive friend, and it totally backfired. She ended up like telling the guy, like, oh, Raven said this, Raven said that. And he was like, you should not be her friend anymore. And she listened. Oh. So after that experience, I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not butting into nobody else's relationship.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I learned the whole, like, you like it, I love it from Miosha, actually, because she was just like, you know, when people would do things and she would want to insert herself, she'd be like, listen, you just kind of have to get to that point where you're like, if you like it, I love it, and just go on about your life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's a lesson I learned. So if I were to pick a word, I think I might say safe.
Okay.
Yeah. I think safe. And so I want to stress that, because I think if like people are listening and they have a situation that doesn't feel that way, then that would be concerning, like where you feel like, oh, if I make this move, then the person's going to feel, you know, so bad about it that now they're out of my life. Or if I make that move, that's not going to sit well. And I feel like you should just feel like safe, like, oh, I can be me.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, you know, and have them accept it. And that's not to say like, they're just going to accept every single thing, but even the way that they react to things, you know, shouldn't make you feel unsafe. It shouldn't be oh, well, if you feel that way, then I'm out. It's like, no,
Safety is huge in a relationship. It's huge. Not just physically safe, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually safe. You want that.
Yeah. If I don't have that, I'm like closed up like a clam.
For sure. Not just even in like intimate relationships, but also friendships too, wherever you are. If you are in any type of space where you know you don't feel safe, why are you even around that person or that environment? You know, you got to have to have a boundaries.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I'm so glad you stressed it can be non-romantic too, because that's something like we like to do here. It's never just like your romantic relationships won't even outlast like some of the friendships that you have you know, relationship with family and things like that. So yeah, it applies to all areas of life. So love it. So I will look forward to hearing what other people have to say when we share that story or that, when we share that question on our Instagram stories over the week. So if you're listening to this, head to our Instagram stories and let us know what you think, you know, one word to describe falling in love is. We're going to go ahead and talk about the topic for today, which is dealing with narcissists. And we came up with this topic because I don't know if you feel like this, Raven, but we definitely feel like the term narcissist kind of took off and just like gained wings, and people were just using it left and right. Like, oh, he, you know, he cheated on me. He's a narcissist, or he, doesn't want to do this, or she did that. And so they're a narcissist. And I'm like, everybody can't be a narcissist, maybe, but I don't, we'll find out today. It just seems like that term just kind of took off and gained a personality of its own.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Especially on the internet. Like, I feel like they grab a word and it's over. Like, toxic.
Yes.
But if I had seen one more thing about a toxic anything, I would have screamed, because everything could not be toxic. So that's how I felt like this term kind of was. So in that vein, I guess, what's the craziest way that you've heard someone use the term narcissist or narcissism?
I wouldn't say that, you know, I have like a crazy story. I've heard something really crazy about it. I will say that, like how you expressed, it's really misused. Honestly, I think people just heard something on the internet and it's a trendy term and they got their heart broken, and you know, maybe their maybe their boss or their ex or, you know, a so-called friend, you know, they have their feelings hurt, and so they just use a word, narcissism. Yeah, that's it. I'm just gonna say that they're a narcissist just because you're feeling hurt. Well, really, they were just a jerk.
Exactly. Those still exist. That's funny. So why don't you just tell us exactly what narcissism is, and we can start from there.
Narcissism is really somebody with a deeply prideful spirit. Like, the root of it is they're just so prideful. And they feel threatened easily. They love power and control. They're very manipulative too. Very cunning, sneaky. They're charming at first. Of course, they have to kind of like seduce you a little bit first, not in like a sexual kind of way, but they want to kind of lure you in, kind of befriend you, kind of get you to let your guard down a little bit. And then there comes that other side where they're lashing out at you and they belittle you and they gaslight you, all those type of things. That is someone that is a narcissist. When I think of the word narcissist or somebody that is narcissist, I think of Miranda from Devil Wears Prada. I think of the parents and the principal in the movie Matilda. And then even like, I guess, like a biblical reference or example would be King Saul, King Nebuchadnezzar, and Jezebel.
Interesting. I love that you came with examples, because it's really like painting the picture. When you said the principal from Matilda, like, I think we can all agree, you know, worst, maybe up there with like Celie's husband from The Color Purple. He's first. He's like the biggest movie villain ever.
Yeah.
But she's definitely up there, especially as a child. I was like, Miss Trunchbull is the worst. But even with like Miranda from the Devil Wears Prada, I think I would have felt like, oh, she's just a jerk. So like her being narcissist, I'm really interested into like go into what like characteristics about her would make her that.
So for Miranda, I felt like she was exhibiting some narcissist behavior. She is a narcissist, her character, because she just lacked empathy. She lacked compassion. She was very cold. The way she spoke to people was horrible. Yeah. She acted as if people were beneath her, and she loved the limelight. That's what narcissists do. They love the limelight. They love the attention. They love people making them feel like they're just some huge person. And everybody else is just, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So they kind of maybe have like a God complex, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. So I guess since we kind of talked about people like misusing this term, what do you think are the potential dangers of misusing or incorrectly labeling someone as a narcissist?
I think when you call somebody call someone a narcissist that really actually isn't one, you're just, like I said, your feelings are just hurt. What it does, it really just, it takes away from the severity of their behavior. It also takes away from the victims that have endured that type of behavior from a person that was actually narcissist. That's what it is for me.
Okay, good. I love that. I love that answer. But no, I love that you talk about just like the victims of actual like narcissistic behavior. And it kind of goes back to the internet thing. So like if we're misusing it online all day, every day, then maybe it normalizes that term a little bit too much, where it's like it's just another thing, and so now we're not seeing how severe narcissistic behaviors are.
Exactly. It's not just another thing. It's not just you know, that's just a little descriptive word that we use to describe somebody who is very grandiose and very arrogant and things like that. It's a disorder. It's, like I said, narcissism, you know, people that are narcissists have a very, very prideful spirit. And honestly, their behavior is abusive. A lot of people don't know that.
That's absolutely true. Do you, because you say it's a disorder, I might be like skipping ahead a little bit here. Are there like treatments for narcissism that, you know, people should look into or be aware of?
I mean, therapy would be the main thing.
Okay.
However, in order for a narcissist to even go to a therapist, they would have to be self-aware, and narcissists aren't very self-aware at all. So that's kind of the thing there.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, because it's a thing where I don't know. I wish I knew someone who's like, oh yeah, a narcissist actually came to me and was treated and got better. I don't know like how that would be handled, you know?
No, they don't see that their behaviors are destructive.
And disruptive.
That's true. They don't care. That's the whole point of a narcissist. They literally do not care. They lack empathy. They lack compassion. They don't care about anybody else but themselves. So they would have to foresee the wrong in their behavior. Like genuinely see it and then change their behavior, because, you know, the best apology is change behavior. So if somebody brings it to them, all they're going to do is either deny it, which is gaslighting. They're going to gaslight you. They're going to lash out at you, be very explosive in their emotions, lash out at you and scream at you. And they might even hit you or throw something at you. Who knows? Like I said, they're just going to be explosive. Or they might try to be a little teary-eyed a little bit. Try to act like they're so remorseful. Oh, wow, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that hurt you, you know? But they just don't turn around and do the exact same thing all over again.
I wonder, do you think, and this is probably, it probably can just be an opinion because I don't know if there's any like proven cases, but do you think raising like awareness about what narcissism actually is, not necessarily directed toward a narcissist, but just kind of like having these discussions about what narcissism actually is. Do you think that could potentially get through to someone who might be like displaying certain behaviors that are in line with that? Like, so I'm thinking if someone were to not confront a narcissist, but just to have conversations around them about this, do you think if they're not feeling attacked, that then they can warm up to this idea? Or do you think there's a tendency with narcissists to just like disassociate themselves from that behavior completely?
No, I mean, they don't have any self-awareness at all. So they might still go, oh, wow, yeah, that's really bad. They might be totally agreeing with you and be like, yeah, wow, that's really wrong. The whole time, like, sir, man, you better look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm definitely talking about you, you know, they wouldn't pick up on that.
Man, I feel like I'm trying to help or something. I'm like, is there something that we could do to just let them know? I'm trying to be.
Now, if somebody is dealing with somebody that's a narcissist, that's a completely different conversation, you know?
Ah, what would that conversation be like?
If somebody comes, you know, to me or to you or anybody for that matter and says, hey, you know, this person is exhibiting these types of behaviors, XYZ behaviors. That kind of sounds like, you know, they're, and you would say, this sounds like they're exhibiting some type of narcissistic behavior. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you could, you know, pull it up on the internet, Google's totally free, you know, pull up for them and, you know, have the conversation with them and just, you know, ask them, okay, well, why are you allowing them to treat you that way? Like, that's wrong. Like, you deserve better. This and that and third, because honestly, anybody that has encountered a narcissist, anybody that has been a victim of somebody that's a narcissist, they definitely need therapy. Like, they really, really need to see a therapist ASAP.
Yeah. So you asked the question of, okay, why are you letting, like, if someone were to come to us and say, I think this person might be displaying certain behaviors, what do you tell that person? So I understand one option is, hey, just distance yourself from the narcissist.
Yeah.
But what other options do they have, right? As a person who's dealing with someone who might be like close to them who's displaying these behaviors.
Yeah, because I mean, a narcissist could be anybody, honestly. It could be your mom, be your dad, your sibling, cousin, a so-called friend, the neighbor. It doesn't matter. It could be really anybody, pastor. It does not matter. But I would definitely say boundaries. You know, if you talk to them every day, well, maybe you need to talk to them maybe once a week and limit how, you know, the length of the conversation. You know, you just have to have those type of boundaries, honestly. You have to really want to, you know, break free from that type of environment they're creating, because what they're doing is hurting you. It's harmful behavior. They are hurting you. But like I said, that goes back to what we were saying earlier, like, you know, these people have to want better for themselves, and they don't want better for themselves. They just keep allowing it. Then, you know, it's really just going to go through one ear and out the other. You know, you have to help yourself in that situation. No one can make you want to establish boundaries. Nobody can make you want to go to therapy. You have to want better for yourself.
Man, it's hard. It's hard for people who are dealing with that. Have you seen, just as we're talking about in relationships, right? How narcissism kind of presents itself. Do you think it's possible for a stranger to identify narcissism in someone else? Or do you think like this is something where, because it is an actual disorder, it requires some type of closeness to be able to identify it, you know, in that person?
It absolutely requires some type of closeness, some type of relationship with that person. You can't just see somebody walking and be like, oh, that person's probably a narcissist. but now if they're misusing the word, then of course, you know, they might throw that word out there, but the person that is close to them, some type of close proximity with that person, they would be the person to know, you know, based off of the characteristics of a narcissist.
Got you. Do you think it'll be helpful? So, you know, if you're dealing with a narcissist, is it then helpful to talk about someone else who's in close relationship with that person and just like, I don't know, maybe compare notes to see what exactly is happening with this person?
Yeah, totally. You could say, you know, hey, you know, sometimes when I'm dealing with, I don't know, let's say Lindsay, sometimes when I'm dealing with Lindsay, you know, sometimes she acts XYZ, she kind of does this, you know, a little bit. Have you noticed that too? Is that just me? Like you kind of, like you said, compare notes.
Yeah.
And if they're doing it to that person as well, well, then okay, so it's not just me. But that's another thing too with narcissists though. They like to make you believe that it's all in your head. That's the whole point of gaslighting, the denial of your reality. It makes you self-doubt. It causes you to be insecure and question everything. You have to trust, you know, your gut feeling, your intuition.
Ooh, and that, so two things that you said, hopefully I don't forget. The second one had to do with intuition so that I can like come back. But yeah. It's interesting, the name that you used was Lindsay, because I don't know if you watch Married at First Sight, but we reviewed it this past season and there was a lady on there whose name is Lindsay. And it really seemed like she displays certain behaviors. Like, she was a caring person, she's a nurse, but also like with her husband, she leaned heavily on, I'm the victim, even though she was constantly like almost terrorizing him. Yeah. You know? So my first thing is that a common thing to expect with narcissists? Like, do they sometimes present themselves as the victim? I don't know, maybe in the sense of like garner support, or is that something that they do?
I haven't personally heard of a narcissist doing that, but I can totally see one doing that, trying to, because remember, like I said, one of the things that narcissists will do is try to get teary-eyed and try to gain some type of remorse from you, or try to be remorseful, you know, sure that they are remorseful, but really they just go back and do the same type of behavior. So I can see a narcissist doing something like that.
Yeah. And then the second thing
is manipulation. Really, that's what she does. She's being manipulative. And manipulation is also a characteristic of someone that is narcissistic. So then, yeah, sure, we'll go ahead and say that. Yes. Okay. Long story short.
Oh, and so the second thing that's like almost, I don't want to say concerning to me, but makes this whole topic a little bit more difficult, is that you said you really have to trust your intuition. And so I was recently listening to a show. I don't think I'll call it a podcast, but maybe. But I was listening to a show and someone was like close to 40 and just realizing, oh, hey, I really need to trust my intuition. You know, like I really need to lean into that, because at this big age, I'm realizing, hey, a lot of times I'm right. And when you just said like, oh, you have to trust your intuition, I'm thinking, man, look at how long it takes people, you know, sometimes to start to trust their intuition, just feeling like, oh, I'm bugging. Or, you know, in this person's example, she was saying like, I grew up, you know, in a place where you couldn't, like, you had to like people, like you couldn't be like, I don't really like you like that. And so you had to kind of force relationships. And so, it makes me scared for people who might actually be in relationships with narcissists, because it's so hard to learn to trust your intuition.
Right. I would say that anybody that does not trust their intuition, honestly, there's definitely some trauma in their childhood, for sure. That is learned behavior. You have learned to not go based off of what you are sensing, what your intuition is telling you, right? Mm-hmm. Like how you said, that person or that lady, she just was forced to like people.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's not okay. I do believe that we should listen to children if they say, you know, oh, I don't really like that person. There's a reason why a child is saying that they don't like that person, but they feel uncomfortable around that person. And, you know, a lot of times parents or adults are just like, oh, you know, it's okay. Like, you're being disrespectful. They'll try to like push it off.
Yeah.
Which makes the child feel like, okay, well, then maybe I'm wrong then. Maybe I didn't feel that then.
Yeah.
So of course that person would then later grow up to not trust their intuition.
That's so true. It really, like, self-doubt starts from somewhere.
Absolutely. You know?
And I think that is right. Like, we do, well, hopefully not. I'm sure people are still doing this, but because we have the internet, we can see, you know, things like gentle parenting and, you know, hear discourse on like child rearing and things like that. It seems like more and more people are listening to children.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think by listening to children, it's telling them to trust like what they have to say, or to understand that what they are saying is important, you know, to somebody. And then later on will be important to them, because you've already put that in them. Like, hey, the things that you're saying are important. Yeah. They have value.
Yeah. Everybody has, you know, they need to feel seen and heard. And children too. You know, they need to feel seen and need to feel heard. They need to know that whatever they're saying to you, that you're not just going to brush it off or dismiss it, you know?
Yeah,
but a lot of parents though, they actually, I guess it really just depends on the culture that you are in, okay. Honestly. I think that a lot of people are really moving towards that healthy type of parenting, mm-hmm. you know, where they're not, you know, always yelling at their children or, you know, that type of old school behavior.
Yeah.
I think we are making a shift and a turn in parenting, which is awesome, which is great. But from what I see as a school counselor, there's a lot of people that still need to get on board with that. So many people need to get on board with that. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents are their child's first bully, honestly.
Ooh. Wow.
That, yes. I was listening to a sermon, actually, and it was Tiffany Montgomery who said that a lot of these parents are their child's first bully. And as a school counselor, I was like, oh my gosh, she is totally preaching to the choir right now, because I see it. I see it when these kids come into my office and they talk about the things that their parents have said to them or how their parents gaslight them or things like that. I see it. I totally do.
Wow. Yeah. I'm glad you spoke on that, because that was going to be my next question. Like if a parent is being the child's like first bully, do you feel like your interaction with them? Because you'll hear people say stuff like, oh, well, your children spend most of their time at school, right? Obviously, they're not spending most of their time with you. Like they have classes to go to and things like that.
Right.
But I was just wondering, do you see the impact of what you do on your students? Or do you feel like, oh, I wish I had more time to just like go into what's going on with them?
I do see the impact, and a lot of my teachers will come back and say like, hey, you know, I see, you know, you've been spending more time with little Johnny. I see the improvement with him, and I see little Sarah's confidence is boosting up and she's speaking up for herself more now. And I do see that. And students are at school more than they are at home. However, that home life is still very, it puts a big stamp in somebody. It really does. It does. It all starts from home. It really does. I can tell what's going on in your household by how your child acts and the things that they do.
Mm.
And then children are very forthcoming. You know, they tell everything. I know who, when you had an argument, who slept in the couch, what y'all had for dinner. I know it all. So
are you at an elementary school or is it middle school?
Yeah.
Okay. Got you.
Even in the middle school level, because I was trained in the middle school level, they still are very forthcoming, especially when they know that they can trust you.
Yeah.
You know, when they see that you really do care and that you were there for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not going to judge them. It's a safe space for them, you know, that whatever is said in this office stays in this office, unless you're talking about hurting yourself, hurting somebody else, or somebody else is hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, whatever you say is safe. When they know that, they tell you everything.
Wow. So I was just to get us back, because I did go on a little bit of a tangent there, because I'm just so interested in like just your work and like human behavior and how it impacts children, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what are some ways that a person's narcissism can affect their relationships with people around them? So if someone is a narcissist, right, and mm-hmm. they're listening to this, you know, what are some things that they can look out for in the relationships that they have with other people that mm-hmm. might say, oh, well, this is what's happening in my relationship, so maybe I need to check myself and see if I have narcissistic behaviors, which again, you've told me they don't have self-awareness. So I'm a little too hopeful, but just in case.
Their victim would be insecure. They would be kind of like shrinking back a little bit. You can tell when somebody has really shrunk themselves in the relationship, or when they're insecure, or they don't speak up as much, or they're fearful of them. You know, they're kind of walking on eggshells around them. That's how it would damage the relationship.
Got you. So like in direct opposition to what you said about the children who you might deal with, oh, children are forthcoming, you might notice like a withdrawal in someone who is the victim of that.
Yes.
Okay, good. Any other things that they should look out for, or we should be aware of with the broader audience?
I mean, anybody that has been in some type of close proximity or a relationship with a narcissist, they would end up developing some type of PTSD from that relationship. Because like I said, being in a relationship with a narcissist, whether it's, you know, your mom or your dad or your boss or whoever, you know, coworker, doesn't matter. You're going to have some type of response to that. It really affects you deeply. Like, it's abusive behavior. It's a, they love power, you know, and it's a misuse of their own power. If they do have any, you know, like if they are an authority figure, they are misusing their power.
Power. Interesting. So I was going to ask, what are some of the key ways to identify that you're dealing with a narcissist? Like, how do I separate, oh, this person is a jerk versus they're a narcissist if I'm dealing with someone and don't want to overuse the term narcissist? Like, what are some distinctions that we should just look out for? Maybe even with how we're feeling, like how you said the victim will like probably shrink a little bit. So what are some other ways to identify?
So a narcissist, you know, they would gaslight you. They're very envious of other people, and they're manipulative. They have a temper. They're dismissive. They're insensitive. There's only one way, and it's theirs, period. Hmm. So you come to them with a suggestion. If it's not their own suggestion, they don't hear it. They're going to totally dismiss it.
Yeah. In a relationship with a narcissist, do you think like you can bring a suggestion and then just maybe wait for them to come to it on their own at a certain point? Or if you have a suggestion, just say it and give up hope at that point?
I mean, they're going to shoot you down because like I said, it's their way or the highway. Yeah. Now they hear what you're saying now. They're going to later on bring up that suggestion, like, oh, hey, I had this great idea. Like, now I told her that last week.
Yeah. So yeah. Ah, okay. So like taking credit for it. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
So if someone is like listening to this episode and they're saying, this kind of sounds like me, maybe that's like why my relationships with people aren't thriving. Essentially, if they are the narcissist, what is their next step like to recover from this?
Go seek therapy immediately.
Immediately.
Yes. And they also need to apologize to their victims. They need to apologize to the people that they have harmed and people that they've hurt. Because when you deal with a narcissist, it affects you emotionally, mentally. And, you know, they're also verbally abusive too. Like I said, they belittle you. They lash out at you. They're going to say condescending things to you. So, you know, there's that.
You know, this... Not super recent, but within the last month or so, there was something that came up with like these two comedians. We talked about it on last week's episode. And so there's a specific comedian who often is putting herself I don't want to say she's putting herself in situations, but definitely handling situations in an interesting way. And so as I was like preparing for this conversation with you, I was wondering, would that be mislabeling? Obviously, we're not up close and personal. We don't have a relationship with this, but with this person. But I was just wondering, like, are those some of the behaviors that we should look out for? Like, I'm wondering, is she a little bit narcissistic? And
so what was she doing? Like, what was...
So it was Monique. I was just going to say that. Oh. But yeah, like when these situations happen where it's like sometimes maybe using the audience to manipulate a little bit and to garner a certain type of support for whatever stance it is that she has.
Others to be on her side kind of thing.
Yeah. Honestly, if this conversation that we're having now wouldn't have happened around the same time as this, I would have never thought to put the two together. But I just wonder if that's like some of the stuff to look out for. Like now I'm trying to pinpoint like, what is narcissistic behavior and what isn't?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, because she does always like try to garner support and go to the audience and present a story in a particular way. And it seems like things do have to be like her way or the highway, just because there's a history of it. And for so long, I was like, no, we still need to stand by this person. But now, because this conversation happened like in close proximity to the most recent events. I'm like, maybe that's what's going on there. I don't know.
I mean, those are two of the qualities of a narcissist. Now, I'm not saying that she is one. I don't know her.
Right.
But those are typically the characteristics of somebody that is manipulative and somebody that has to be their way or the highway type of thing. So we can look at some of the narcissistic, you know, characteristics and kind of, you know, think about a little bit, that sounds like this person. That sounds like this person. You can kind of, you know, make your own judgment, you know.
That's where I am now. I'm like, are you a narcissist? Are you a narcissist? I try to figure, you know, just try to figure it out. And so do you feel like someone who's listening to this who, because do each of us have, or does each of us have some narcissistic tendencies, do you feel? Or is it like you either are or you aren't, you know?
There are people that can't be manipulative. Absolutely. Yeah. There are some people that are selfish and arrogant, but with narcissists, they take it to a different level.
Okay.
That's the thing. Of course, anybody that is manipulative, that's, you should not be around that person at all. That's an unhealthy person. That's not a safe person for you.
Yeah.
We're going to use that word safe. That's, you know, our word for the day. They're not a safe person for you if they are manipulative, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So people, well, I'm gathering, people can be manipulative. That doesn't mean you automatically
that they are a full-on narcissist.
Yeah. Do you even feel like we should, us commoners, should even be using the word narcissist, or should we just leave that to the doctors? You know, like what's your stance?
No, I don't think so at all. If you are looking at this person's behavior and they are doing these type of characteristics, then yes, you can full on call them a narcissist. Okay. You're not misusing it. You have educated yourself.
Okay. You know? That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Just because I don't know if it's like that in other fields, but you know, like in some fields who are like, this is a word for our field. This is a word that we use. Why are regular everyday people just using it like it's tissue, you know?
No. Because counseling, school counseling is a part of the psychology umbrella. It's just a different part of psychology umbrella. There's different little clusters under that psychology umbrella. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure there wouldn't be any psychologists or therapists that would be like, no, they should not be using that word. That should only be for us, you know?
Yeah.
I highly doubt any therapist or psychologist would feel that way.
As long as you do the education and you learn what is this term.
Don't just piggyback off of something you saw on the internet. Educate yourself.
Yes. Unfortunately, we live in a piggyback world, but it is. Well, Raven, is there anything else that you would like to say about this topic, about counseling in general, psychology in general, anything else that you would like to share or plug while I have you here?
Therapy, I think it's an awesome tool that everybody needs to utilize. I know that really depends on your insurance and things like that.
Yeah.
But, and of course your finances, of course, but we still have this horrible stigma that therapy is only for crazy people. You know, that's not true at all. Everybody needs somebody to talk to. Everybody needs to feel heard and feel seen. You know, and therapy is a great way to do that. You know, talk about work, or, you know, a good way to get off some steam, you know, talk about, you know, what's going on in your head and your thoughts, and try to process things and, you know, make sense of certain relationships and things that happen in your childhood, things like that, because things that happen in your childhood without fail does affect who you are, how you are as an adult currently. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't think that. They don't put those two things together. They just say, oh, well, that's just my childhood. That was just the past. No, that totally shows up in who you are and how you are today. Therapy is an awesome tool. Please go utilize it. And another thing, people, stop picking up things that you saw on the internet and running with it. Educate yourself, please.
Yes, we have enough people in the field of psychology who are on social media and talking about these things.
Yes, there are so many people, so many psychologists and therapists and counselors that are on social media that you could literally go to their page and educate yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me for this episode.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. This is awesome.
It was very nice talking to you. I didn't say how we met at the beginning, but interestingly enough, Raven and I went to the same high school, but our times there never overlapped. So yes. Like I left, and then I think you came the year after I left. And so This is probably our first like conversation, I think, that we're having with each other. Oh, wow. That's hilarious. But it was absolutely a pleasure for me. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this topic. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.